Dr. Xavier Reese and the simple truths for developing an attitude for a heart of true gratitude.
For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Whenever you think you are giving anything to God, you are merely giving back to God a little bit of all that belongs to Him. David prayed that this would always be the attitude of God's people to giving to the work of God. And he recognized that everything belonged to God.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Reese, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. Today's political hot button of our nation is the question of open borders and being more inclusive. That's a debate that's sure to continue for generations. But when it comes to spiritual openness, well, according to Pastor Xavier, that's not even an option. Today, as he continues his study of the Old Testament, he reminds us to guard our hearts for the truth of the Scriptures in both word and action. You'll want to open your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 26 for today's Simple Truths verse-by-verse study.
Chapter 26 now, we get the gatekeepers. He says, concerning the division of the gatekeepers of Korathites, and he starts to enumerate them. The Korathites here are the gatekeepers. Now Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20 that he was to guard the doctrine of God. Here they were to guard the holy things of the temple. We are commanded to guard the holy doctrine and the word of God. That we are not to allow people to teach false doctrine. We are not to allow people to fleece the flock of God. We're to be watchers. We are to be gatekeepers of that which belongs to God. Jude says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And so to an extent, we all kind of fit this little job description because we are ambassadors of Christ. And so from verse 2 on down, he gives all their names and the orders. In verse 20, it says, of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and over the treasuries of the dedicated things. And so there was a treasury that was continually being added to for the temple. Some of the things that were added to it, we find in verse 27, some of the spoils that were won in battle. As we'll see later on, David himself gave much of his own personal wealth. And so there was a special treasury for the work of God. I think that one of the most tremendous things that can ever happen in a church is when God's people respond to the work of God, and that body can meet the need of the things that come up, take care of missions, take care of the outreaches, take care of whatever the Lord has. It's a great testimony to God's people. And David surely honored God in this manner. Now in verse 29, he gives some of the names of the officials and judges over Israel outside of Jerusalem. Verse 30 tells us they took the oversight of Israel on the west side of Jordan, which was the Jordan side. So those officials that would look after the treasuries, the different things for David. Chapter 27, we get the military divisions. And says, and the children of Israel, according to their number, the heads of the father's house, the captains of thousands and hundreds and their officers served the king in every matter of the military division. These divisions came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, each division having 24,000. Over the first division, the first month was his name and where he's from, and they were 24,000. Now that wouldn't be a bad job. One month out of the year, that'd be pretty good. Now, what's interesting to me as I read the Old Testament and I see how concerned God is with man and his balance between work and rest, family life, worship time, he made sure that man was balanced. And yet somehow we have allowed the philosophy to creep into the church that it's better to burn out for Jesus than to last out. And yet as I read the Old Testament over and over, I see that God is very concerned for His people, that they have a balance. Sometimes there is a need to sacrifice, but God is not concerned to burn you out. God is more concerned that you last out for the works that He has prepared for you before the foundation of the world, that you might walk in them. And so each of us have a responsibility to pray and to see where we're involved and how much we're involved in, and to be involved only in what I know God wants me to be involved, lest I am pressured by man, and therefore trying to please man, I don't please God. See, there was a constant thrust to trust God and then to reflect upon the goodness of God. Something that we sometimes miss because we run such a fast pace. It seems like there aren't enough hours in the day, but there are. We've just got too many things in one day. There are many urgent things that are not important, and you have to put those urgent things aside and give yourself to the important things. Don't confuse the two. And so these divisions would serve the Lord or the king there once a month. And then we'll get down to verse 16 of chapter 27. You get the leaders of the tribes. It says, furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the officers over the Reubenites was Eliezer, the son of Zichri. Over the Simeonites, he gives that. And all the way down, he gives Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh. Manasseh in Gilead, because there was two tribes, half on one side, half on the other. Benjamin, Dan. And in verse 22, it says, these were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. But David did not take the number of those 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said He would multiply Israel like the stars of heaven. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began a census. Joab was his general, his advisor. But he did not finish, for the wrath came upon Israel because of the census, nor was the number recorded in the account of the chronicles of the king David. And we already went over that as David wanted a census, and God's judgment fell upon him. In verse 25, you get other state officials. These were all the personal properties of David and the people who administered them. They were stewards, just as we are stewards of all that God has given to us. And then in verse 32 says also, Jehonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hakammoni, was with the king's son. And then in verse 33, we get Ahithophel, who was the king's counselor. Remember, he betrayed David when Absalom, his son, tried to take the kingdom from him. And after that, he committed suicide when his counsel was not taken. He was a sore loser, and he hung himself. Now in chapter 28, he says, now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, and of the captains of divisions, who served the king and the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. I like the phrase, for the footstool of our God. David saw the temple as just a mere footstool, showing the greatness of God, the immenseness of God, the insignificance of man, and the insignificance of anything that man can do for God. For Solomon said in the dedication of the temple, the heavens of heavens can not contain you. How is this temple going to contain you? Everything is really insignificant. When you're God and you can do whatever you want, I mean, you know, it's almost like if you had a real rich uncle who was a millionaire, what do you get him for his birthday? Kind of difficult, isn't it? Anything you would get him would be insignificant, because he can get anything he wants. Unless there is relationship. If there is relationship, then the smallest thing that you get him will be meaningful, because it comes from the heart. And that's what God looks at. So verse 3, David again declares, "But God said to me, you should not build a house in my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over Israel." You remember when Samuel went down to the house of Jesse, and all the sons of Jesse went before him, and Samuel was looking at the outside of them and said, "Oh, this guy's tall, he's handsome, surely this is the one, Lord." The Lord says, "No." One by one they came, and finally Samuel said, "Do you have any other children?" He says, "Well, I have a redhead, freckle-faced, ruddy kid out in tending the sheep." He said, "Why don't you call him in?" The minute David stepped in, God says, "That's him, Samuel, pour the oil on him." You see, because God does not look upon man as man does from the outward appearance, but he looks upon the heart. And so David never forgot that God had chosen him. "And of all my sons, from the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, is it your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts? For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." We are to be concerned about our children. We are not to live life as if it our generation is the last, and after it, who cares? God is very concerned how we view the next generation. Verse 9, he says, "As for you, my son Solomon," now he turns to Solomon. Now listen to this. This is good counsel for us. "Know the God of your father." You see, more important than working for the God of our father is to know the God of our father, because until you know him, you cannot serve him properly and effectively. Before you can please somebody, you have to know them. Before you can know what's going to please them, you've got to know them. And so the priority in the believer's life is to know God. Paul says, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be conformed to his death." The priority was to know him. How do we know him? With a loyal heart, or a complete heart, not a divided heart. Make sure you're sold out to Christ. Make sure your heart is handed over to Jesus. And he says, with a willing mind. "For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Back up to verse 12, the middle portion. It says that David received the pattern of the temple by the Spirit of God, just as Moses had received the pattern of the tabernacle by the Spirit of God. It wasn't David's own imagination. It was directly from God. It's important that whatever we feel God wants us to do, that it comes from God and not from our own desires. We must make sure that God is the one who has called us and God is the one who is instructing us, lest we begin to do and be involved in things that we have no business being involved in. Make sure that it's God's ministry and you're not building your own ministry, your own little empire. In verse 13, he also speaks of the divisions of the priests and the Levites. From verse 14 on down, he speaks about how he gave gold for the weight of the articles, silver, the lampstand in verse 15, the table of showbread in verse 16. In verse 17, you have the forks, the basins, the pitchers, the golden bowls, all the different instruments. Verse 18, the altar of incense and the golden cherubim. Verse 19 says, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing." Now, people say that the Bible is not inspired, that it's man's own interpretation. The Bible says, in the New Testament, and Peter says, that men were moved by the Spirit of God. They were carried along. They did not speak out of their own impulse, their own desires, or their own will. But the Spirit of God came upon them. The Spirit of God directed them, David says here. "And the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me all the works of these plans." Tremendous. "And David said to the son of Solomon," to his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Here is the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and every willing craftsman will be with you for all the manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command." Kind of the same thing that happened in the book of Exodus. As Moses was gifted in the same manner and got anointed craftsmen for the work of the tabernacle, so likewise here, the temple to be built. Now chapter 29, we get the offerings for the building of the temple. He says, "Furthermore, King David said to all the congregation, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze, so on and so forth." He speaks of the onyx stones that would be upon the vestment of the priest. In verse 3 he says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house my own special treasury of gold and silver." And he gives the amount in verse 4. And in verse 5, towards the end, he says, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" See, that's the only type of service that God honors, that which is willing from the heart, that which is voluntary. And so they gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 denarii gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 8,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, or a complete heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Remember when David asked for the people to give to the building of the temple, or the ark, and the tabernacle? It says that Moses had to restrain the people because they gave too much. Tremendous. Here David equally rejoices because of the people's willingness to give. Now in verse 10, we get David's praise to God. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Underline that. Underline that in verse 14. Whenever you think you are giving anything to God, you are merely giving back to God a little bit of all that belongs to Him. Oh, the perspective, the insight of David. And he had everything. And he recognized that everything belonged to God. He says, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that You test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our Father, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you. David prayed that this would always be the attitude of God's people to giving to the work of God. Now remember what we said at the beginning of Chronicles. Chronicles is really a record from God's perspective, not from man's. This is God's perspective to you on your giving. The New Testament confirmed this. Study 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. This is what David prayed would always be a consistency in the people of God. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build a temple for which I have made provisions. Then David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. So all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. And then they made sacrifice to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord the next day, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, drink offerings, sacrifice in abundance to Israel. So they ate and they drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader of and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men, also all the sons of King David, submitted themselves to King Solomon. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been in any king before him in Israel. And thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all of Israel. The period of that time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years, 7 years he reigned over Hebron, 33 years over Jerusalem. And so he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, first and last, indeed they are written in the books of Samuel the seer, which we have, the book of Nathan, which we don't have, the prophet, and the book of Gad the seer, which we don't have. With all his reign and his might, and the events that happened to him, to Israel, and to all the kingdoms of the lands. And so, we come to the close of 1 Chronicles, the life of David. 2 Chronicles deals with Solomon and what happened to the kingdom through him. David's a tremendous man. Study his life. Put your life side by side with him. There's so many things that we have to learn from him, both on the positive and on the negative side. And so we get God's perspective through the Chronicles as he views things, what he places and looks at as important, and how different it is what God thinks is important and what man thinks is important. The things that God values and the things that men value. What a sharp contrast. May God give us wisdom as we study his word, and that it become wisdom in our lives and not simply knowledge.
Pastor Xavier Rees and the importance of practicing the Word of God in truth and in action. More simple truths he draws from our verse-by-verse study series. Now today's message has been titled 1 Chronicles chapters 22 through 29 and is available on CD for just $4. And by the way, we'll be able to include everything Pastor Xavier shared with us the last time we were together as well. The title to ask for once again is 1 Chronicles chapters 22 through 29, or you can simply mention today's date. You can request your copy by writing Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths,
2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And thanks for mentioning the call letters of this station when you get in touch. This helps us track the effectiveness of this ministry in your area. And then join us for more Simple Truths next time with Pastor Xavier Rees. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Rees, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.